This podcast of Seattle Unity Sunday Service is free to you, but it's not free to make. Please remember to hit the donate button so we can continue to bring you great podcasts like this one.
There was a time in my life I thought I had to do it all for myself. And I didn't know that the grace of God was sufficient. Didn't know that the love of God was but now I can say, if you are discouraged and you're struggling just to make it through another day, well, you got to let it go, let it all go. And this is what you have to say. I release
and I let go.
I let the Spirit run my life. And my heart is open wide. Yes, I'm only here for God. No more struggle, no more strife. With my faith I see the light. I am free in the Spirit. Yes, I'm only here for God. I believe.
Welcome to Seattle Unity's online Sunday service. My name is Reverend Karen Lindvig, and I am happy that you are joining us this morning. Our vision statement states that we are an accessible and inclusive spiritual sanctuary for all ages and stages of life. We offer spiritual practices and a community that honors diversity and encourages self-empowerment. May it be so. So as we always do, we call in the goodness in the universe. So I invite you just to kind of open to that in your own life and in the world, as we recognize that there is but one presence and one power in my life and in the universe, God the good, omnipotence. And it is for this awareness that we are truly grateful. Amen.
Take me to the water.
Hi, I'm Chad, and this is Felix.
And this is Joey and Rocky. And we're getting excited for the annual pet blessing on Sunday, October 4th. Traditionally, this is the Feast of St. Francis, the patron saint of animals.
In Unity, we observe it by blessing all of the animals that are a part of our lives who bless us in so many different ways. After the service on that Sunday, join us in the Zoom fellowship hour and bring along your kitty, your doggy, your parakeet, maybe a beloved iguana, or any other pet that you would like to be part of that blessing.
Or if your pet is shy, bring along a picture of your pet, or even if your pet has passed on. What do you think, Joey and Rocky?
Peace and good, Felix.
That's right. Peace and good. See you then.
A reading from the Unity Association Library. Prayer is one of the most powerful practices we have for creating healing, joy, and anything in life. So the next time you desire a sense of belonging, just stop wherever you are, close your eyes, and breathe. Focus your attention on your breath and imagine how your breath is connected to the world around you. Imagine how your breath mixes with the air and lands on the leaf of a tree nearby. And the tree absorbs the air that you are a part of, and so on. Continue imagining your breath moving through the world around you until you can feel a connection. It doesn't have to be a specific connection to anything or anyone, just the realization, the feeling of not being alone. This activity is prayer.
So we now come to that time in our service where we move into silence together, recognizing that nothing is ever totally silent, that there's always a sound. But may we enter into this time with an awareness that all sounds are the sounds of God. And our focus this morning is on prayer. So as we move into silence, I'm also going to speak of one of my favorite prayers, which is called the Universal Prayer. So as we begin, I invite you, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, to sit with your back straight but not stiff, to allow the pranic energy to move freely up and down your spine. And so I invite you to take a few deep breaths. And with each deep breath, I invite you to go deeper and deeper into the center of your being and to use the sound of the bowl to carry you there. O adorable Lord of mercy and light, salutations and prostrations unto thee. Thou art omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. Thou art Satchitananda. Thou art existence, knowledge, and bliss absolute. Thou art the indweller of all beings. Grant us an understanding heart, equal vision, balanced mind, faith, devotion, and wisdom. Grant us inner spiritual strength to resist temptation and to control the mind. And with that thought, may we enter into silence. Free us from egoism, lust, anger, greed, hatred, and jealousy. Fill our hearts with divine virtues. May we behold you in all these names and forms. May we serve you in all these names and forms. Let us ever remember thee. Let us ever sing thy glories. Let thy name be ever on our lips, and let us abide in thee forever and ever. Amen. Breathing in, coming back to this time and this place, knowing you can return at any time. And so it is. Fillmore gave the world a gift. Without Myrtle Fillmore, there would be no Unity Movement. She is the co-founder of Unity, along with her husband, Charles Fillmore. And the whole Unity Movement exists because she healed herself with prayer. And it's part of our Unity lore that every Unity student knows. The story goes that she talked to her body, asked it for forgiveness, and was healed. And Charles, who's a businessman, was so impressed by her healing that he had two appointments with God a day for 20 minutes where he would sit in silence. Obviously, 20 minutes, two meditation times. And he vowed that whatever guidance he received during this time, that he would pursue it. And the Unity movement sort of grew from there. They both studied under Emma Curtis Hopkins, who founded the College of Metaphysical Science. And Myrtle, once she was healed, started prayer circles. And interesting things started to happen, and that is that people started to have healings happen. And the prayer circle grew even beyond Kansas City. So people started to stop and pray at 11 o'clock a.m. Central Time, at the same time the Fillmores were praying. And then that grew to a letter writing prayer ministry, which then grew into a letter writing and phone prayer ministry. And now, of course, it's online as well. So if you call Silent Unity, and it's been around for 125 years, they'll answer the phone by saying, "How may I pray with you today?" So I want to back up a little bit and look at prayer, right? Because we've all come from different backgrounds when it comes to prayer. I mean, perhaps you were raised in a devoted household where prayers were said before every meals, and maybe even at the drop of a hat. Perhaps you were raised as a Catholic and you learned to pray the rosary. Many of us were raised with memorized prayers. I grew up with the prayer before I went to bed. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, God bless everybody." And then I would name everybody. And when I look back on that, I'm thinking, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who's ever said this prayer, it's kind of an odd prayer for a child to say, you know, that in case I die in my sleep, make sure you take my soul. But I think the good part of it was that I got to speak the names of everybody that I knew and to bless them, even if I didn't know what that meant. Perhaps you were raised to believe that God was waiting to punish you if you did something wrong. Maybe you were raised with chanting as a form of prayer. And maybe you were raised with absolutely nothing at all. So, what is prayer? Well, Richard and Mary Alice Jafola, who are Unity writers, defined it this way. Prayer in its simplest form is any conscious attempt to experience the presence of God. So it's any conscious attempt, whether it's sitting down and speaking the word or meditating or being in the woods or looking into the eyes of your beloved. These can all be activities of prayer. They also say we pray not to God or for God as something separate from us, but from that sacred presence, which is our very essence. And that's a very important point. So we're not praying to or for, but from, right? That place of sacredness within ourselves. Now, Unity practices affirmative prayer. And in the last 10 years or so, I see many Unity students also practicing a form of Buddhist prayer, a little softer with the may I, you know, may I be free from danger. But I want to focus right now on affirmative prayer. And they both have their place, right? The may I prayers, may I be free from danger, may I be happy, have kind of an openness and a surrendering to them. Where the affirmative prayer is more like, boom, I'm going to speak the word. So, rather than begging or bargaining with a God out there, this method connects with the presence within and directs our thoughts to a desired outcome. So we practice this because it is the form of prayer that was really taught by Jesus, right? He didn't stop, he didn't beg, he didn't plead. He spoke the word. In Mark 11:24, he said, "So I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." So let's look at how he prayed. And we hear it in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven, God who is within, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come." Not, well, maybe the kingdom will come. And what is the kingdom? The kingdom is the awakening and the awareness of consciousness. "Thy will be done." Not, well, maybe your will be done. Please let your will be done. "Thy will be done." "On earth," here in the outer, "as it is in heaven." As without, so within. "And give us this day our daily bread." In other words, give us what it is we need today, whether it come in the form of material needs or whether it's emotional or spiritual. "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." So you get the idea that this prayer is very powerful. And if you say no other prayer in your life, that's a good prayer to say. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, "I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you hear me always." So we get this commanding presence that Jesus had and that he spoke with. And so affirmative prayer assumes that we are being led to our highest good despite outer appearances. So how does this work? Unity Magazine said it this way, that metaphysicians believe that thoughts transmit magnetic energy, and this energy attracts other energy in the same frequency. So whatever you are conscious of, whether you are conscious of it or not, your thoughts are transmitting energy that is attracting more of the same. So when you remain focused on your intentions, you will draw those things in your life. Now, this is common knowledge throughout the metaphysical community and beyond that. You know, I have a book called Thought Power by Swami Sivananda that basically says the same thing. So it's something that metaphysicians and ancient teachers have known for a very long time. But what does it look like? So say you're unemployed, right? A begging, pleading prayer would be, "Please God, help me find a job, because if I don't find a job, I'm going to be homeless and I don't know what I'm going to do and I'm going to end up living on the street." That's a negative prayer. That'll send you right down a rabbit hole, right? An affirmative prayer would say it this way: "I am guided and directed to the right and perfect employment right now. I am surrounded by talented, creative people, and I am richly rewarded for my skills. This or something better." Many years ago, when I was in ministerial school, I found myself in financial straits. I was unemployed. I had rent to pay. I had tuition to pay. And I wasn't sure how I was going to do that. And I had previously worked as a temp secretary for Marion Laboratories in Kansas City. So I called Silent Unity and they spoke a prayer, I'm sure very similar to the one I just spoke. And when I hung up, this thought came to me that all of a sudden I wanted to call Marion Labs. So here's the deal. Once we pray, we must take action, right? We must step into it. And I had this thought to call them, so I called them up. And they said, "Do you know that we have been trying to find you for the last 3 weeks? Nobody had your phone number or name. We didn't know where you were. And we need you because we're in a crunch project right now. Can you come in this afternoon?" Well, that job ended up lasting me all through ministerial school and even beyond. I was generously paid. It was back in the early days when computers were new. I was allowed to use the computers for my schoolwork. And the environment was so positive at Marion Labs that for me, there was no difference between being in ministerial school where everybody was just so wonderful and supportive to going to Marian Labs. And I ended up making a couple of really good friends from that experience that are my friends to this day. So my point is, though, I'm not sure that I would have called Marian Labs if I hadn't first called Silent Unity. Now, it's not that Silent Unity worked some magic and made it happen, but it's almost as if they cleared the way for me to all of a sudden go, wait a minute, I could call Marian Labs and see if they have any work for me at all. So affirmative prayer then is very powerful because words direct the energy of our thoughts. And when they are directed in a positive direction, a solution seems likely. So the basic construction of an affirmative prayer is easy. And that is, just as Jesus did, speak in present tense language. Because when you're praying in present tense language, there's less of a chance that you're going to wander off into the woods and start worrying. And the best way to speak affirmatively, to pray affirmatively, is I am. I am divinely guided. I am in my right place, surrounded by the right people. Another way is to start a prayer with thank you, God. Thank you, God, for an abundance of good in my life. You're not going to say thank you, God, for not having any money in my bank account and not, you just wouldn't, right? So it's very simple. I am and thank you. And if you're praying for somebody else, it's you are. You are a child or manifestation of God. You are in your right place right now doing what needs to be done. So when you put I am in front of a prayer, you can't slip into negative thinking. Now, if this is something new for you, you may feel as if you are lying. After all, you're saying something that isn't currently true. Now, we're looking at two realities here. Capital R is the unchanging reality of spirit, and small r is the constantly changing reality, right? So when the small r is you're unemployed, the big R is, you know, you're more than that. You're more than that. You are a spiritual being. So also, if we're simply just mindlessly affirming, then we got to put our energy and our power and that presence of God, to invite the presence of God to speak as us. That's a key in praying, to invite the Spirit of God to pray as us, not just through us, but as us, and then let go of it and release it. Because if we hold on to it, then the ego becomes engaged, right? Oh, I prayed for you and you were healed. You know, no. Rosemary Ellen Guiley said, prayer is ineffective when it is accompanied or followed by negative thinking or the endless repeating of affirmations. We have to put power and intensity into our thought, change our thought, and believe in the guidance we are receiving. So again, it's about putting that energy and that power behind the words that we are speaking. I know that many of us have prayed with people, and I've prayed with people for whatever it may be, and then eventually we say amen, and then as soon as we say amen, the person picks it up again and says, yeah, but what am I going to do? And da da da, and then the story continues, right? It's like, let go of the story. Let go of the story. We've handed it over to Spirit. It's an important thing to remember, because if you pray for something, but then immediately after spin it out of control, then it's going to unwind. So if you're praying for healing and then constantly complain about your body, well, which one is going to work? Which brings me to Myrtle Fillmore. And she wrote this in 1897. And it's, so imagine that I'm Myrtle speaking to you right now. I have made what seems to me a discovery. I was very sick. I had all the ills of mind and body that I could hear. Medicine and doctors ceased to give me relief, and I was in despair. I affirmed my beliefs, and I was healed. I went to all the life centers of my body, and I spoke words of truth to them, words of strength and power. I asked their forgiveness for the foolish, ignorant course that I had pursued in the past, when I had condemned them and called them weak, inefficient, and diseased. Have you ever done that? I have. I said, I got a bad shoulder, or I got a bad leg, right? No, she says, speak words of empowerment. I have a strong shoulder. I have a healthy shoulder. I have a shoulder that moves easily. I'm sorry that I called you bad shoulder. She didn't even do this just once now. She did it for at least a month or two. She goes on to say, I did not become discouraged at their being slow to wake up, but kept right on, both silently and aloud, declaring words of truth until the organs responded. I told them that they were no longer in bondage to the carnal mind, but that they were not corruptible flesh, but centers of life and energy omnipresent. I want everybody to know about this beautiful, true law and to use it. It is not a new discovery, but when you take it and get the fruits of health and harmony, it will seem new to you, and you will feel that it is your own discovery. Which leads us to another path, right? We're all on our own paths, and we all have to take these tools and work with them ourselves and see how it works for us. Does prayer work? Well, it worked for Myrtle Fillmore, and it planted the seeds for the unity movement. And most recently, our beloved Sada Simran was diagnosed with COVID, and he ended up in the ICU on a respirator for at least 3 weeks. Sada is a Kundalini yoga master, spiritual teacher, beloved member of our community, and has led his own community. And every 48 hours, his Kundalini yoga community chanted for an hour, prayed, and sent him healing energy, and COVID be gone. The doctors said they did all they could, but from here on out, it's probably a miracle if he survives, and he did. He came off the ventilator. He was quickly moved to another room that was not a COVID room, and he is healing. Prayer works. Prayer works. But here's the thing. When we pray, whether it's through chanting or speaking affirmative prayer, or may I be free from danger, we have to let it go. We have to say the word, speak the word, chant the word, and then let it go and give it to God, because we have limited vision. And let it go. A healing for someone might look different than what we imagine for them. So it's always helpful to close with this or something better. Obviously, the more we develop our prayer consciousness, I believe the more effective our prayers. The more we awaken, the more we live with a pure heart, the more effective our words are. So I invite you to bring these ideas into your practice. If there is something that is really troubling you in your life, I invite you to write out an affirmative prayer. And then to stand up and to speak it as if you mean it. Because what happens is it ignites that faculty of faith that's within us. And what I know about speaking the word and then activating faith is when that happens for me, I let go of the goal because I know that this or something better is going to manifest for me. So in your prayer, you can be as specific as you would like and then let it go and release it and let it be. So as we close, I'd like to share an affirmation for our world. So we affirm that our world leaders are awakened to the light of their true nature, that they are awakened to the light within all beings. We affirm that our world leaders are divinely guided and one with the heart of spirit. We affirm divine order outworking in our coming elections. We affirm divine order outworking on our planet, in the weather, in the rain, in the fires, in all of it. We affirm divine order manifesting in the lives of those who are seeking abundance and prosperity. We affirm a world that works for all. It is for this awareness, and in the name and through the power of the living spirit of truth, that we say thank you. And thank you, Myrtle. And amen.
Come to that time in our service where we practice the law of giving and receiving through generosity. We are grateful for your continued support of Seattle Unity. You may text to give. The number will appear on the screen. You may also consider setting up a recurring donation. Please visit our website for more information, seattleunity.org. I invite you to hold your gift in your mind and your heart as we affirm, I give willingly, joyfully, and lovingly, knowing that God is the constant source of my supply. I give with graciousness and receive with gratitude. We dedicate and we consecrate these gifts to the will, the work, and the way of the living spirit of truth. May each gift return to the giver a millionfold.
And now, let us close with our prayer for protection. As we begin this prayer, I invite you to hold in your heart our planet, our country, our city, your neighborhood, this spiritual community, your friends, your family, all the people that are near and dear to you. And I invite you to hold them in your heart as we spread over all of it our prayer for protection. Let us say it together. The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And until we see each other again in the flesh, be safe, be well. Thank you.
If you enjoyed the Seattle Unity Sunday service, please hit the donate button so we can bring you even more uplifting music and messages. Or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. You can find directions and information about all our programs, classes, services, and events at www.seattleunity.org. Or find us on Facebook, where we post all our readings, links to more podcasts, and sermon videos. Seattle Unity, celebrating, inspiring, and deepening our individual and collective spiritual journeys.